You're listening to the podcast of the Attention Young Choreographer Series 2024. Artistic Direction, Brianna O'Mara and Chris Haring. The series is co-funded by the European Union in the frame of Lifelong Burning, Futures Lost and Found. Today's guest is Georges Labat, a dancer, choreographer and visual artist working in Paris. With Vienna-based choreographer and artistic co-director of the Attention series, Chris Haring, he met at the Austrian Film Museum to discuss his performance, Self Unnamed. Here, Labat dances with a resin puppet modeled after himself. They talk about the process of creating the puppet and the ambivalent projections regarding power and desire the duet invites.
Hello, Georges. Welcome. Hello. Thank you for being here in the Film Museum for this interview. I would like to talk with you about your piece, Self Unnamed. But before we talk about this, maybe you could speak a little bit. You had a residency now the last 2 weeks almost, I think. And I saw you many, many evenings at the shows here at Impulstanz. How was this experience? What did you get out of it?
It was very nice. It was very nice to be here. It was also very nice to discover the festival. It's such a unique environment. Like, I'm not so used to see a festival that has like this very... I'm used to see like performances and stuff, but like a festival that also has this workshop experience and group is very interesting and very unique. And I really appreciated that. Also, like, being a young maker, having this young generation, young group being very present in the festival felt very special. Felt very like there was a collective experience happening. Yeah, it feels like there is like also like a sense of community again that's building up here for this 2 weeks, where you get to see other performances and also like this Attention series people, where you know who you are, and like there's this like support and friendly interaction, and it's nice to be able to see your peers' work and that your peers can see your work. Like like François Chéniaud, who's a friend of mine and has never seen my work in Paris, and now he's here and he gets to see it, which is very nice. And also people like Ivo Dimchev, whom I really admire for a very long time, and when you see that they're in the audience, it's very nice.
You rehearsed your piece Self/Unnamed. The piece was shown like in Vuk three times. You had an additional performance, of course. Can you talk about the piece? What inspiration source?
Sure. It's a piece I started to think about when I was in school. I used to study at Parts. It came after a piece I made with a bigger group, a very like interactional piece, kind of gallery space made for duration or very long and very boring. And very boring, very like without conflict, very like welcoming kind of work. And I had this talk with this teacher who said, like, why are you making a work without conflict in such a world? What's your thought behind it? And this was a very striking phrase to me. And I then felt like maybe diving into the conflict and what it could be and how to represent it. And then, I started researching. I discovered this writer, Mazok, and his oeuvre and studies about it. And I got very interested in this masochistic relationship and the complexity of it and the like unusualness of it and how to portray that today and how to speak about some sort of conflict, violence, because it exists, and also how to show it in a within its complexity somehow.
The piece Self Unnamed, I can say it like this, it's a solo, but it's a duet as well. Huh? There's a sculpture in there, and you created this sculpture, as far as I know, it's your own body that is like, maybe you say it like how it's made, what it is, and
yeah, it's a double made of resin. Resin is like plastic, and it's made like from a cast of my own body. That's a very long and tedious thing to make, and also quite precise. And yeah, there's like a sort of printing of this cast in resin.
I remember, like, from a talk that I had with you in Paris, you spoke about the position of this body, because it's quite a solid sculpture. How did this position of the body come up?
At first, because in this masochistic relationship and in his oeuvre of Mazoch, there's very often this image of the it's a very heterosexual relationship that he's depicting. So like, it's often the woman who's like admired and so much that she's being turned into like a sculpture that's so cold and never answers. And so I had this idea of creating an object that would be kind of like not moving, stiff, and that would be like some sort of a panicking and like agitating around and moving and dancing, and while the statue would be sitting. And so that's how I started making it. And then I realized once it was made that it was actually not really interesting to have it sitting, but much more interesting to move it. And I found the posture that I had come up with actually quite interesting, and there were so many things I could do. And so after that, doing it all again to make it better and more strong, and like I had no soles of my feet for the first sculpture, and no butt as well. So I made new ones, and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna make it even more precise, and even like the things that were interesting, make it even more visible and present.
So how can you imagine this? Like, as you said, like you tried again and again, you broke it also, or something like this. Like you break basically yourself. In this case, after a while, do you lose this idea of that this is a, does it become something else? Do you start the dance, the duo? Do you start it with somebody else? Is it something that is out of myself? Is it something that goes in a certain kind, in this position, first of all? And when I watched your piece, I saw like the sensitivity comes a lot through movement, like slowly with the movement, you change my point of my perspective, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And how did movement basically change the position of the sculpture?
I think it's the sculpture that changed the movement more than the. I think for me, like you were asking, like if I see myself in the sculpture, I don't think I do. For me, it's like also, I don't know, it's like a. The idea with this work was kind of abstracting the self somehow, and creating, like erasing as much as possible things you could hang on to like project something that you like. I really wanted to create as much as possible a frame onto which you could project things, but not make it too precise on like what the body is and what. That's also why I didn't want to paint the body. I also like. Trying to like the taping of the sex is also to erase like the sexual the sexes, and for me I see it also like creating it, being the performer and the choreographer. I really felt like I had to, especially with such a topic, and because it was me, I had to detach myself somehow. It was like wanting to kind of objectify myself and be like, okay, so I could talk about me. And I could talk about the dance from a very detached point. And also, like, people who are invited to discuss the work could speak about what was happening without speaking about me. It was really, really important that it was not about me. I find this, I mean, not interesting and not what I don't want to... That's something I really don't want to do. And it's already, like, there's so much... My presence, it's so much here because there's two bodies of mine. So like it really was important for me to like abstract as much as possible that personal aspect of it. And then I think about the movement of the statue, and for me it's really like I don't move like this usually. I don't, because in the piece I move very, very slowly. And it really is, it really arrived when the object came in the space. To have it like this smooth, precise movement, I had to be very, very slow. There was no bumps and no, bumpiness. So yeah, I think it's really like the sculpture that imposed its gesture.
It's interesting that you turned it around before and said like the sculpture changed the movement. I totally agree with you, I can imagine. But what I saw at the end is that I couldn't take my eyes away from the sculpture. So basically I was always with the sculpture and less with you. You were basically the carrier of this figure. And at the same time, I was staring at you, like staring at you, staring at you, and staring back at you. So this energy between you is normally in a pas de deux. It's like, as far as I experienced it as a dancer as well, you have to open it always a little bit to the audience. But because this is a very transparent sculpture also, it's interesting to see like this organic, unorganic exchange of thoughts, let's say like this. And what I found very interesting is that the position of the sculpture, the position, is like almost like it's not sitting, not standing, it's like walking. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about this?
I mean, something I realized afterward, for me, it's a position for me that feels like it could either be standing up or falling down, and there's really like this motion in between things. It's true, it's not really like, it's not like a proper sitting, like a straight legs. It's this in between body that's kind of also like floating all the time and very round somehow, while being so stiff and so squared.
I mean, this was the most, for me as a choreographer also, this was the most interesting point, is that with this position, when you put it on the floor, when it was alone, when you started to lift it up, when you keep it horizontal, vertical, above you, turn it around, it always like changed my point of view and my perspective of looking at this body. And I think it was a very interesting position because it's also like this... it starts like turning around like it would turn molecules or something like this. When you start to work with this, how do you start to work with this? How do you come close to this? Do you start to touch it first? Do you start to move it? Do you start to lie next to it? Do you talk to it?
I don't talk to it. For me, it's really like how I'm creating images that are like morphing into each other, and how do I then have intentions and qualities changing my body, and also like the way I interact with it, the way I touch it. For me, it's like I'm very interested in very small details, and how like a change of of gaze, if I look at your hand or if I look at your butt, what this will change in the image that I'm offering to the audience. And it's very much about like for me, like having those big contrasts and having this very tender caress and stroke on the sculpture, and then having a very aggressive one, and how those things can very change and transform into each other without even noticing it. It's just like a slight change that gives a whole different perspective on what's being seen.
The tempo, I figured out, is also like something that is interesting, because it changes also like the perspective.
Yeah, I think at first it really came from this desire to have a... I wanted to be very precise. I wanted to be like a very, because it's the first time I danced with a performer that is not actually able to be like, hey, I'm gonna readjust my feet and hold your weight. It's like, how do you make it? Like, and then there's this looking for a, clean and smooth, effortless style. And I was like, how can I bring that back? How can I have this thing that is like very controlled and very in the ground without bumps and without mistake somehow? And so I had to be slow at first to do it. And then I also had to think about the rhythm of the whole thing, and being slow the whole time was a possibility. But it was also how to show and highlight events with the rhythm of the movement.
You said before it's like you give us pictures as the spectator. You give me the picture. You change this picture or this the sculpture, the drawing, the painting, whatever you give me there, by looking at different body parts. Maybe what happens to you when you look at different body parts there, like doing it? Because a strong moment for me was, for example, when you were suddenly like head on head, as a forehead on forehead. This was suddenly something changed. Yeah. I don't know what, but it became a strong exchange of thinking.
It's funny, like also with later works that I've been doing, I've been reflecting about how to also like act somehow, how to feed the image with like the movement with intentions. And I worked with this movie coach that was like kind of telling us about the different ways of performing and acting, and whether like sometimes often in theater like you would come from the feeling out, and how in cinema it's like the other way around. It's really like from the image in, and so like it's creating a form that has an effect on how you then feel. And I think that's something I find I'm more connected to that aspect. And it's true, like sometimes I end up in positions that bring back a memory that feels different. Like, I don't, there's this one image that I'm trying to bring back often, but I never bring back. It came once. It was like when I'm lifting the statue head down. I remember vividly once seeing this image of the very famous picture from the 9/11, when you have this man falling down the building. And I try to bring this image back of like, oh, this falling body, but I don't manage to find the form that brings this feeling back anymore somehow. I believe that if I have clear intentions, you will get a sense of clarity, but you might not get what I'm looking at. It's just like, for me, it's going to be clear for you what you see, but we have different, and that's what also is interesting to me, is like, I feel like I'm creating frames more than images. Like, I'm framing the possibilities, and then what I'm interested in is like creating like a canvas for the audience to project what they want to see.
I can't get rid of this thought, because you mentioned in the very beginning is that like you invited people and you didn't want them to talk about you. At the same time, I see you permanently mirrored there, like dancing with your own alter ego. And you can imagine that this is a strong like input. Like, yeah. Everybody knows this feeling. Everybody knows this like being with yourself and then creating this this distance or being close, and like this being like it is a part of me. And in your performance, you also make it like this, that it grows on you. Like it's so long, so slow with you, that when you put it away, it hurts a lot. It hurts you a lot also.
I mean, for sure, like the self is very much involved in this work. And also, of course, like the idea of making a sculpture of myself, I instantly knew that there would be this connection of like, and I found this very interesting, like also like, for me, it's a work about relationships and them being like interpersonal, like between people, also like intrapersonal, like the relation that you have with yourself. And this like layer that came with the double was for me very interesting. Of course, it's a topic. It's just I didn't want it to be about myself. I didn't want it to be about my own relationship to myself. I wanted it to be about the self, but in a bit more general manner. And of course, like I'm then using myself and what I know and things that I'm not controlling for sure. But the intention was to be really like distancing from myself to speak about the self and the relationship with the other and yourself and blah blah.
Sound. As far as I remember, it starts in darkness and I hear a sound like going around. It's obviously something that is like a kind of like a vocoder. It's something is going in a circle. It comes closer, goes away, comes closer, goes away. And then it changes and it even goes into, I don't want to say too much about the piece, but it goes into music. How did you work with the sound? Mm-hmm.
At first, I mean, because there is this Diana Ross song that came very early on in the process, and it's something that stayed and that was here. Like, I think that's kind of the only thing that stayed throughout the whole thing, from parts to the final creation. I wanted something that would break the heaviness of the and the tension, and also like. Like I feel like because it's a disco song, and it's very like it's a very colorful, joyful. Even if the lyrics are very actually quite dark, when you listen to them, even the voice of Diana Ross is quite a very strange voice. That's also very there is lots of pain in it, and
the lyrics. I think she talks also like. You now that you're gone or you're here or
like, no matter where you'll be, I'll be here. No matter what you do, I'll be here. And it's kind of a thing of like very desperate, not desperate, but like completely losing oneself or the other and being body and soul in a bit of a limitless, which is very beautiful but also very intense. And yeah, I also thought that this like contrast of the silence and the heaviness with this very disco song would also highlight each other and yeah, be a bit funny, also just like it's a very uplifting music. It's dynamic. There is something about it that's like thrilling. And I wanted, I thought, I mean, we tried, it was actually a friend of mine who suggested this and I was like, yes, let's go. And it made sense, like somehow, and I kept it. But to come back to what you were saying, so like, we also made this work with sound and I wanted to work with silence. But the idea was how to show silence, how to like make you realize it's silent. And therefore we played with very loud sounds to contrast it again, because to highlight the silence. Like if you put two colors next to each other, they will be like highlighting each other by contrast, and that's what we wanted to do. And also because we are using this fake silence, this white noise that's like always happening, and when we take it off, then you realize there was actually this sound coming. So this was something we also played with. And then the sound we made for the loud part is also, I think, Paul, who did the music, was interested in having what's already there and playing with that. So we took this first image that's like a light being swinged around the space. That's kind of like presenting the motion, the rotation that will be happening throughout the movement, throughout the whole piece. So in introducing that, and the sound made us very interesting, and also coming from a very real sound to an amplified one that goes so far that it's like an unrecognizable. That's how we made the sound.
I found it a very strong amplifier, the sound in this case, because the silence that you say, like I hear and feel this silence if I have a kind of something before and something afterwards. And as soon as you, as long as you're together, you with your alter ego, it's quiet. So this creates a, the silence creates a very, very intimate moment. It's quiet and it's silent, basically. But as soon as the sculpture was alone there, it started to come this like loud noise, and it was very, it was like a baby crying that said like, "Hey, hold me again," okay. Yeah, and. When you holded it, it was quiet again. Yeah? So you basically you shaked this like yourself into the thing, and then it felt almost like you want to get rid of it, but it's always like crying, crying, crying. And then when you came back, when the music came in, suddenly I had the feeling like, okay, I found my peace, or you found your peace, both of you found your peace, and you started to go into the dance, into the delirium. This is, would be actually my next question. In general, this kind of delirium, you bring it from slow motion into the dance in by swinging, basically, and you're turning. So it's a permanent turning, and you permanent turn in the same direction, as far as I remember, always. It's this the turning, the swinging. Is this something that you... Like, is it, does it come on is it concerning spacing also? Like, why is the piece a turning piece? Is it a...
So at first I had this thing of, I thought, okay, I want it to be slow and I want it to be continuous so that, like, there is no stop ever. Like, the movement is always continuing and always transforming. So that I never stop in an image and I never make it concrete. It's always like a suggested image that then shift to something else, and it's up to you somehow to finish it. But I'm never, I just pass by. And so that was very important for me, that it was always continuous. And then when I took the piece back and I was like, okay, I need anything about the space. I need to find about like a bit more like choreography, composition wise, like what to do, how to organize that. And there was already like a lot of spinning. This very fast spinning was already here. And I thought it was it would be a very clear space to be like doing those three circles, one big, one medium, one small, and like spiraling in and always turning to the left. And it's now, it's also like, what I love with the spinning is like, because then I'm always facing you and then I will be back to you and then face again. And so I have this like time off somehow where you don't see my face anymore, and like there's this moment for changes to happen, so you don't see it, and like you find me back and you find the object back, and it's completely different. And there's this feeling of this spiraling feeling of being attracted into some sort of motion that takes you and is just going and going and going and never stops until we break the rule.
In the beginning I saw you have a very nice film about it also, or like you filmed it basically. The camera is in space, the camera is very close to you. It doesn't really, it does dance with you, but it tries to like see more than what we see as an audience from a distance. Through this closeness, of course, it comes very strong, the camera view, into what you just said now, into this kind of the camera point of view, this effect of that something is passing by, turning away, so it goes very much into this filming idea, and like almost like in a cinematograph. Did you, whoever filmed, as this person who filmed, mm-hmm. must know the duet very well?
I mean, the person who filmed is a friend and also a dancer, so he always does this. Also with the new piece, he's very much into the space, and he has this very dancer agility, and that you can feel through the image. But it's funny because now I'm actually working on a movie, and I'm taking this idea of the duet, this encounter between two people and the rotation, but I'm with the camera and with the possibility of what cinema can do. It's the idea is to bring the audience within this dance and within this rotation. So like the camera will also be always turning, always in the same direction, and also being now a third body, and because what you can do with one and half one, because it's a plastic one, is quite a lot. When you're two, it's even more, but when you're three, it's like, so that's and also with being able to zoom in and out and show details, and as I said, I love those very delicate but yet extreme changes, and with the camera you can do that, like just if you close your eyes, what does it say? It's like so strong, but from afar it might be a very little thing, and how you can amplify that with the camera, it's very, very exciting.
From the very beginning, you were very much interested, also like you asked, to have contact, for example, to the University of Visual Arts here, or Applying Arts. So that you said, like, you as a choreographer, you're very much interested in sculpture.
Yeah, actually, so I have no background in visual arts school or anything. My father is a visual art teacher, but whatever. And so for the sake of this piece, I learned how to make it. I really went onto YouTube, and with the money I had at the time as a student, I made what I could. And then taking the piece back after school, I was like, okay, I need something proper, something solid, something with feet, like something proper. So I really took the time, and I really enjoyed that process. And while doing this sculptures, because there is many, I started having ideas of like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing it for the sake of the piece. But if I change that thing, I could make that, for example. And then I started having many, many ideas. And for the next piece, Weep, that you came to see, the general, I decided to make it like an object that would be more of a scenography. So like, we have first an object that's like really a dance partner, and then I moved to like object as scenography, and now the idea is really like I really want to develop this size, this part of my work. I actually just got a positive answer for an atelier today, so I'm very happy. I will finally have a space to work and to settle, and yeah, it's very interesting. Also, like as I said, I have no background, also I have no theoric knowledge of like the history of modern sculpture or anything, and I start to now dive into it. And at first, when I was thinking about like what could I do, what could I make, I was like, how can I use what I've learned as a choreographer and as a dancer throughout my education and my works, and how can I transfer this into sculpture making? And I had all these ideas, but okay, it's like about bodies, time, and space. And I thought it was very like something like special to being a dancer. And then I started reading about like Rodin and like all this, all the art, the sculptures that came after his work. And it's just like, it's the same questions over and over again. Actually, sculpture is very, very close to dancing.
This brings me, well, actually you answered my last question, would have been like, what is the next steps? You just mentioned before, like you're working on a film.
Yeah.
And?
I'm working on a film. I have this next piece called Weep that I'm also working on. We are going to be touring it, and there is this idea of extending the piece to a big group. It's a trio, and there is this possibility of doing it for 10 people. That would be a very exciting project, like taking a Weep extended version. And I'm also starting to think about a new piece that will be for like long. And now I have like my plastic practice that I really want to dive into. Many like ideas that I want to keep on doing, but I have to prioritize the works that are already done, and sculpting, and the movie.
All right. Sjors, is there anything else you would let us to know?
Having us and presenting the work here was very, very nice.
You have been listening to the Attention Young Choreographer Series podcast. To never miss a new episode, follow us on Spotify, Podcast Addict, or Deezer. For more artist conversations, visit our websites lifelongburning.eu and impulsdance.com.